The Word of God is alive and powerful, sharpening a two-edged sword, piercing into the divine and the center, the soul and the spirit, the joints and the marrow. It's a critic of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. All Scripture is God-breathed and is profitable for doctrine, reproof, correction, instruction, and righteousness, that the man of God might be mature, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. So you show yourself approved unto God, a workman that does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Continue the word of truth this evening in the doctrine of marriage. Page 4 of our notes, probably where we'll pick up. All right, if you've not already done so, now is the time to make sure that you're under the filling ministry of God the Holy Spirit, that you are indeed in fellowship. You have put the SCA in his case, so to speak, so that you can have the proper spiritual perception in regards to the approach to the truth of Bible doctrine to apprehend these things under the spiritual guidance of God the Holy Spirit in conjunction with your human spirit and your own positive volition, and therefore incorporate these things into your Christian life correctly and accurately as so intended. So with that in mind, we'll give you opportunity to rebound if necessary as we start with our normal word of prayer. Father, we thank you for all the immense blessings that you have bestowed upon mankind and for positive volition and addition and those eternal rewards that sit there for those who are truly faithful to your word and apply your word correctly into our lives. We ask you to bless us once again this evening as we seek to understand these things to ensure that it is action with honor that we engage in regards to our Christian life, glorifying you and providing for ourselves our own eternal way to glory. All via God the Holy Spirit, in Jesus' name, amen. All right. Marriage, not a foreign concept, but one that is becoming more increasingly foreign in regards to any correct understanding in this respect. Marriage, as we know, is divinely ordained, is ordained by God, with the creation of the first man, first woman, the human race, our corporate parents, Adam and Eve. That is divinely ordained, demands that then the marriage itself should fall under divine guidelines and principles with respect to its reality and execution and adherence. And as we know, in this vein, marriage is designed for adults, not children. The whole idea of child brides, things of this nature are ludicrous, ridiculous. Obviously, we understand people are at different points in their life, in maturity, etc. But one should have at least a mature enough approach to life that they have reflected an evidence of being able to exist in this world, to engage in the cosmos in regards to economy, the spiritual well-being of all concerned, and things of this nature. Adam and Eve were fully developed physically as well as mentally and intellectually in regards to their union that God brought together for them in that respect. And the union itself is to complement one another both organically as well as soulishly or spiritually. The right man, right woman principle is indeed a true principle of which we will further examine here in our notes. And when one becomes married, they become a family of themselves. They are autonomous, if you will. They are to be self-governing. A new authority has been established in the relationship. That is the authority of the husband with the subordinate authority over family in regards to the mother otherwise. The preceding parents in regards to the spouses no longer have any authority in regards to the new family's affairs, and they should conduct themselves accordingly and provide the independence and freedom otherwise, not meddling in regards to the new established family. And the marriage itself, obviously, is not some cavalier approach in regards to a relationship that as long as one has fun, or one looks good, or we get along, you know, that's how long it'll last, and otherwise I'll just drop it and move on. No, marriage is a very serious covenant and vow that is taken between two people. And by divine designing, God intended for marriage to be permanent, with truly the only truly legitimate reason for a freedom to be free from marriage is through death. Otherwise, it takes an act of immorality to free the innocent partner that might be involved under terms of divorce. Divorce comes about simply because of the presence of the STA among individuals, the stubbornness of people's hearts, and it falls under God's permissive will, not His directive will. And the very attitude God has toward divorce, the words are succinctly stated in the English that He hates it. So, for God, who others say loves all things and all men, some malleable entity that seeks just to basically conforms to everything, they don't know the God that we serve. He has an attitude of one that is negative in regards to certain aspects in life. So, another principle, obviously, in regards to marriage that is almost completely downplayed today, ignored, or even attacked directly, is the authoritative relationship between the husband and the wife. Fact is, most modern marriages is the exception rather than the norm to hear in the vows of the woman to obey her husband. That essentially is being dismissed. And the whole premise, and obviously this all comes about and fits right into the mold of the New World Order, inequality among all and all these other things, is that there is equal authority status between the man and the woman. And that this attitude exists not only in the cosmos and with unbelievers, but also believers have adopted this concept, and many, whether they accept it or not, sure don't act like they adhere to it or believe it through their very actions. So there is a proper authority structure that is established by God, and that is the subject of point 9, Roman numeral 9, the authority structure in marriage. A, first you have the authority of the husband. So one, the husband is the head or authority in marriage, and as such is responsible for his wife and obviously children if applicable. He is the ultimate authority in the house, and he is to be the head of the family. And that makes authority is not simply some position of recognition. Authority, to be given authority, is to be given not only privilege and power, obviously, but also great responsibility. God has a very high attitude in regards to the principle of authority. He supports authority greatly. And God is the type of God that will even support authority that may be abusive if the subordinates are in rebellion against authority in regards to especially positive volition in situations of that regards. And in the marriage structure, it is first the husband, then the wife, and then obviously the children in the familial chain of command. So when the male gets married, he takes on an additional responsibility, and that is for the protection and care, not only physically, economically, but spiritually in regards to his new family. So two, he is to establish his authority immediately and exercise it in an appropriate fashion. It would be a good thing to discuss with your potential mate before you even get married, quite honestly. If you're on doctrine, hey, do you recognize this doctrine? Do you hear this doctrine as a male? If you're getting some negative feedback at that point in time in your relationship, my advice to you is back off. This whole idea, only your libido, your STA, that's the only thing that's truly driving you to jump into these things. See? if these things don't come to, about, if you don't see all the doctrinal requirements fall into place, and notice the like-mindedness and agreement, then truly you have issues that need to be worked out before you enter into a union of which you promise one another to be there for one another for the rest of your lives. Now, obviously, we understand people all grow. But obviously, an authority structure in the household is essential if you want your house to run smoothly. So everybody's got their STAs. Obviously, people are going to abuse authority. The male is, on occasion. The female is going to take advantage of it. You know, but to have the principle before you and to recognize it so that when the STA does get the best of us, we can rebound, reorient, and get back on the right track. So three, now in regards to the authority, he is to apply his authority, recognizing the wife as an equal heir and the weaker sex. To have authority is one thing. To properly exercise it is a whole other ball of wax. And that takes, obviously, maturity in regards to the approach that an authority has with their subordinates. To have discernment, to have the proper guidance and guideline, to have experience in some form or fashion. Training, obviously, doctrinally you get your training in Bible class, but then in your application of life. We all know how authority can go to people's heads immediately. And arrogance is quickly the monster that rises up. Those are things that, if you're ever in the military, usually you have an opportunity to see these types of things. I remember in Nam, you get officers come over straight out of ROTC. You know, they get their training that way. They don't go through the hardcore OCS type of training, etc. They get their bars. Next thing you know, there they are. They know everything. Except how to run away from the frag. Oh, that was a joke. Probably a bad joke. But it happened. Let's see. And to not have a good handle in regards to a proper use of authority. And for the husband to the wife, you must recognize that she's the weaker sex. But at the same time, she has every opportunity and has every equal right before God to run her course spiritually, to garnish her SG3 account to its maximum, and to be prize winners. 1 Peter 3:7, as we dealt with that principle when we went through that epistle. You husbands likewise, following on the heels of the exhortations to the wives in their quiet and submissive roles, being Sarah's daughters, you husbands likewise live with your wives in an understanding way. To adopt this attitude, stonewall attitude, that you're always going to be right. Sometimes in a condescending way, as these are just manifestations of someone who is immature in exercise of authority. You know, an understanding way. An understanding according to Bible doctrine. According to what your proper counterpart, your fitting counterpart really is in life. A female who physically is weaker than the male. And emotionally dependent. And designed by God as a helper, an assistant. See. And you must understand your wife in this respect, knowing her needs as a woman, and as naturally she is inclined to do and want to do as God has designed her, as with a weaker vessel. See, since she is a woman, she's not your buddy that you hang out with, punching them in the arm, wrestling with, not in that way, and other aspects. See, she's a woman. Treat her like a woman. Now, if she doesn't act like a woman, well, now you got a whole other issue before you. See. And grant her honor. This is the due respect you as a husband should have towards your wife. Grant her honor. As a fellow heir, she is a believer with a soul that when we get to phase three, whether you are male, female in time, it really isn't going to need a hoot a lot of anything if you don't have SU3 and a prize to go with it. See. As we know, there is no marriage in our resurrection bodies. And we'll all have our distinct privileges and positions based on what we did with our lives spiritually, male or female, in that regard. A fellow heir of the grace of life. And obviously the grace of life is to remind the husband in the exercise of authority the need for grace, as one would want grace to come back to them. And the admonition, the exhortation, is based on a real reality that if you're not willing to approach your wife in a proper fashion, then all you're doing is setting up your own wall between you and God in your prayers, so that your prayers may not be hindered. You want God to do this, do that, bless you here, bless you that, and you're treating your wife like crap. And you wonder why God doesn't bless you. He had the wrong attitude, the wrong approach, and all these other things. So apply your authority correctly. And having the discernment, the insight of perception of what your female counterpart is before God and what she is to be to you in that respect. Wives should rightly depend upon their husbands in regards to things. Doesn't mean that they can't have their own initiative in things and things of this nature, but they should be able to lean on their husband for strength and for stability, to provide them with encouragement in regards to their own spiritual life. A husband that is compassionate and sensitive in regards to their wife will do what they can to ensure their wife has every opportunity to live their life with maximum blessing, joy, spiritual advance, and all these other things. Often, as our society and Satan's world has conjured up for us, people are put in a position where husbands expect their wives to work outside of home, then they dump the load of the housework on the wife on top of it all, along as well as taking care of children and all these other things. She's bringing in income with you. You ought to reconsider your position. This whole idea that trying to help around the household is somehow effeminate in regards to the guy is ludicrous too. I'm exhorting myself. If you don't want to listen to me, that's fine. I exhort myself. For his authority is to emulate the authority of Christ, who is head of the church. We are to exercise authority as Christ exercised his authority as the head of the church. Marriage and the authority structure of the husband and wife is likened to Christ as the head of the church in Ephesians 5:23. For the husband is the head of the wife, as Christ is also as the head of the church, himself being the Savior of the body. All that Christ has done for the church to exist, for the church to function, to have a relationship with Him. Everything is geared in grace for these things to occur. You reach that pinnacle of feat in regards to being a husband and actually emulate Christ in that regards, then I would shake your hand. You've arrived as a husband. See? So, we are not to abuse our authority. We are to apply grace. And we are to make sacrifices necessary to try to ensure our family, our wife and children, if applicable, the best we can in regards to their lives. And that is not just on a physical plane, but also spiritual. A husband should be doing everything they can to remove any obstacles in regards to their household for wives to fulfill their NPR and spiritual advance in their lives. I've said it. That is your responsibility. To create some type of environment that of necessity causes them not to be on Bible class, things of this nature, is completely self-centered and not in the mind of Christ in application towards her as a weaker vessel. Now, obviously, if the woman does not want to abide by these things, they want to be stubborn and insistent on their own way, you can't hog tie them and force them, you know, otherwise. We understand that. But to the degree that it's, you're capable of making these things happen, providing for them these avenues to be in Bible class, etc., you should be doing those things. Five, God created man with authority over the woman before the fall, and that authority was not abrogated. It wasn't given up after the fall. Genesis 2:23. She shall be called woman. That is a notation of his authority over her, because he calls her that. He names her that, just as he named the animals. He called them. And then 3:16. God specifically states the reality in regards to the woman after the fall, and he shall rule over you. He being her husband, the man, at the end of 3:16. So, to put it in its balanced perspective, 6, browbeating is to be avoided. There's different types of abuse. Now, you would hope you wouldn't even have to address, you know, the obvious things like physical abuse. You know, punching the old lady. What kind of wussy are you? You want to fight women? Give me a break. But there are other forms of abuse. Browbeating, constantly degrading the woman, calling her stupid, things of this nature. Parents do it to kids a lot. I had an uncle that was definitely that way. I remember that. His kids really grew up psychologically balanced too. Yeah, right. But anyway, my cousins, that's my family for you. I won't go too far that way because you all might get up and leave. But anyway, browbeating is to be avoided. Obviously, you approach them as an adult, as your wife, as a male. She's your wife. You know. Yes, emotions get in the way on occasion. I know that. But you've got to learn to overcome these emotions, overrule your SCA in that respect. And if you're engaged in verbal abuse in this regard, you need to back off. So you avoid browbeating. Yet, on the other end of the coin, you must maintain a determined stance of taking charge. See, a determined stance of taking charge is to be maintained. Your authority, you don't give it up just because the woman doesn't like it or because she gives you some crap or whatever. You know, I don't even know how to talk English, so I communicate that way. That's what happens. But you don't back off. You understand. You recognize it. You try to talk logic and doctrine, and obviously both of you get in fellowship and think doctrine. Then you come to your proper conclusions together with a doctrinal stance. So, again, I've seen it in regards to relationships, marital relationships. The woman is contentious, is strong-willed, and the husband eventually just gets tired and just rolls over. Let them have their way. That kind of attitude. This give-up attitude isn't getting anybody, isn't going to advance anybody anywhere. You stand your course as an authority. You hold strong. You remain determined. The doctrine is going to rule, and your authority will be exercised in your household without being abusive. And you may be tested in that area. But over time, if your right awesome number truly is positive, it will have its intended benefit as the weaker vessel leans more and more on you and has more and more confidence in you. And a correct approach to authority builds confidence in your subordinates. So, that you ain't just going to bend over at the first hint of trouble or pressure or stress in one's life. So 7, in regards to authority, the badge of man's authority is his short hair. The overt evidence of the male's authority is in regards to our hair and the length of it. 1 Corinthians 11, 7, 9. For a man ought to not have his head covered. You'll hear the debates back in regards to their societal customs and things. And yes, it does have a play in it. But here, the covering, first and foremost, refers to hair. Recognizing that sometimes, and the issue comes up, because sometimes back in these times, you would have slaves, and female slaves would get their heads shaved. And for the woman, that's a disgraceful sign. At least it was. You know, not in the perverted, twisted world that we live in. I'm talking about in a normal, rational world. And their heads were shaved. And when they come into a local church or whatever, they would put on a covering over their head to provide the, at least symbolically, overt posture that God wants from them. But for the man, is to be short hair in regards to his overt appearance in witness of the life in regards to his authority. For a man ought not to have his head covered, since he is the image and glory of God. But the woman is the glory of man. She is your counterpart, and she is to be your glory. The positive woman is the glory of the positive husband. For a man does not originate from woman, but woman from man. For indeed, man was not created for the woman's sake, but woman for the man's sake. So B, so on the other end of the coin, what is left is subjection of the woman. So the subjection of the wife. One, the woman is not the authority in the marriage and should not seek to usurp the authority of her husband. To rebel against authority, it's just a sign of maladjustment. And God does not look kindly on that type of activity. He doesn't do it in the civil world. He expects us to acclimate to our civil authorities, so He expects believers to acclimate to the spiritual authorities and familial authorities as they are so established in the Bible. So it doesn't mean that she cannot speak her mind. It doesn't mean that she can't offer doctrinal advice and things of this nature. But when it comes down to it, the ultimate decision is left to the husband. And generally, when you have two acclimated partners, the decision is congenial between the two. Both are in agreement. So two, the wife is responsible to obey her husband as is fitting in the Lord. That's the caveat. As is fitting in the Lord. Even when he may at times be unreasonable. 1 Peter 3, 1 through 6 gives you what disposition the female is to take, the wife is to take in regards to the attitude towards the husband. And yes, we know authorities can be jackasses at times and abuse their authority. Authority never has a right to tell a subordinate to do something that is wrong or evil or sinful, whether it's in the marriage or whether it's in the civil world. You know, we are obviously always to acclimate to civil authorities, even when they're legalistic. But if they say that we have to commit genocide on behalf of the government or something like that, obviously we can disobey that, appeal to a higher authority. We appeal to God in that regard and be part of the genocide crowd instead of doing the one genociding. That's probably how it ended up. You know. But either way. And so it is for the husband and the wife. She is to submit to his authority, but she doesn't have to go out and rob a bank because he tells her to. You would think logically people would recognize that, but doctrine has to spell it out for men. 1 Peter 3, 1 through 6, in the same way, you wives, be submissive to your own husbands, so that even if any of them are disobedient to the word, they may be won without a word by the behavior of their wives. The wife who is acclimated to doctrine and acclimated to authority principle, truly for the positive husband, will carry more weight in regards to bringing about change for him on his and on her behalf than the one who's going to generally be contentious and battle their husband over these things. That's what it says right here. So that if they are disobedient to the word, they may be won without a word. Your actions speak louder than words. So, by the behavior of their wives, as they observe your fidelity, that's being chaste. Not some floozy out flirting with every Tom, Dick, and Harry. You got a husband. You belong to him. Only him. See. And so to the husband. And respectful behavior. Not acting like the bitch. Acting out in public, as females often will do. And let not your adornment be only external. He's not saying let yourself go. He said that you don't put all your energy into always looking good. You have something just as important or more important other than that, and that is your spiritual dressing. Braiding the hair and wearing gold jewelry and putting on dresses. People have taken this out of context, abused this, and hence you have, you know, people like the Amish that wear these plain, droopy-looking clothes and crappy-looking hair with bonnets on it and all this stuff, you know. And you just, But anyway, let it be the hidden person, verse 4, but let it be the hidden person of the heart with the imperishable quality of a gentle and quiet spirit, which is precious in the sight of God. The gentle and quiet spirit, not the horsey, mouthy, rebellious, head-shaved bitches that run around the world today. You don't want to emulate that as a female. Not as a positive female. And all the other things that the world and cosmos does. in the way they dress, act, look like pin cushions, look like Rembrandts on the wall. They're so painted up, you can't find their real skin. Just emulate the world. Go ahead and emulate it. See where it gets you with God. No, you're going to be a gentle and quiet spirit. Acclimate to these things. Acclimate to Bible doctrine and be a witness of the life. Come out of that camp. Get back in touch with doctrine, see. That's the idea. The imperishable quality of a quiet and gentle spirit. For in this way, in former times, the holy women also who hoped in God used to adorn themselves. The true beauty that comes from the soul and seen in the actions and applications, being submissive to their own husbands. Thus Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord. Not because she had to, not because she was coerced. She meant it from her heart. She recognized and appreciated his authority as her right man. And you have become her children if you do what is right without being frightened by any fear. And that is what your SCA will try to convince you. Well, he is making a bad decision in your own thinking or whatever. See. But you got to learn to trust God in regards to these things. And then Colossians 3:18. Wives, be subject to your husbands as is fitting in the Lord. Straight out. So for the response of the woman is to emulate the church's subjection to Christ. You have the parallel of the husband interacting with the wife as Christ is the head of the church. You also have a parallel of the woman with Christ in the church. That's Ephesians 5:24. But as the church is subject to Christ, so also the wives ought to be to their husbands in everything. In everything. Not just one thing, not just that thing. In everything. See. Obviously that which is proper, that which is fitting in the Lord. So, your husband doesn't like something, doesn't want you to do something, bite your tongue, quit bitching at him, and acclimate. God wants to bless you in certain areas. Otherwise, he can change his mind. In fact, God changed my mind a couple of times without any overt coercing by my wife on his own. Once that I can remember. Four. The action of usurping authority and acting independently of the husband led to the fall in the garden. This attitude of the female that somehow they can do it on their own. They don't need the old man. They don't need to appeal to him in regards to these things. Well, that very attitude is why we are in the condition spiritually, in part, obviously. We recognize the rest of it. The condition we are spiritually today in our fallen estate. Genesis 3:6. When the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was a light to the eyes, and that the tree was desirable to make one wise, she took from its fruit and ate. She gave also to her husband with her, and he ate. All this after she was thoroughly deceived by the serpent, running under her emotions. See. She should appeal to Adam immediately when she heard the first words out of serpent's mouth. There's attack on Bible doctrine, but she determined she's going to take care of it herself. And the old man goes, crap, that'll give me some of it too. I don't want to be left alone. But anyway, we'll get there. Five, the badge of the woman's submission is her long hair. Opposite of the male, also in 1 Corinthians 11:10 through 15, for the woman is having her head covered, instead is covered with hair. If you don't have it, then you put a some type of deal on top of your head otherwise. 1 Corinthians 11, verse 10 and 15. Therefore, the woman ought to have a symbol of authority on her head because of the angels.
Wow.
How you, as a female, and males too, how we wear ourselves in our overt appearance, the angels take notice of this. And when we act and we dress, when we appear in emulation of the rebellious cosmos out there, that's an abomination to the angels. So the least we can do, obviously, in regards to these things, is to at least do our hair right. Now, we're not legalists, and we're not saying the woman has to have hair down below her shoulders. We're not giving any particular legs, but at least a husband and wife, you ought to be able to tell the difference in regards to their haircuts. But the badge of the woman's position and submission of authority is her long hair. In verse 15, but if a woman has long hair, it is glory to her. It is glory to her. See? For her hair is given to her for a covering, to illustrate that indeed hair is a primary issue in regards to the context. So Roman numeral 10, now we have the responsibilities in marriage. We've established the authority structure. A, the responsibilities of the husband. One, the man is responsible for every aspect of the household and should not shun his duties in this regard. Again, they're just pushing everything off on the old lady to take care of these things. To overload and burden her with everything simply because you work a 40-hour work week or 60 or whatever. She can work 100, that type of attitude. Two, he obviously may delegate responsibilities as appropriate. That's what authorities do. They delegate responsibility. Children get old enough, generally parents will start delegating responsibility to them to help them. That's why my grandparents had 11 kids because they had a farm. As soon as they came of age, they're out there helping plow the field and getting the crops in and all these other things. It's what they used to do back in those days. The one reason why they were motivated to have kids. So to delegate, obviously, this is to be done with discernment. So three, he should pursue, maintain gainful employment, recognizing the wife's duties at home and with the children as priority. Again, we understand the time we live in, the evils of our time, the situation where the great merchants have basically enslaved economically families today in our society and around the world. Both spouses have to work to hardly even put food on the table. Amazing, you go to the store and you spend a $100 bill and you got one little sack of groceries. You go, what? Yeah. But, you know, it's the way it is. That's our test. We live in the last days. We got to put up with these idiots and their power and control as they are fast cranking out everything necessary to bring the Antichrist to surface. Titus 2, 3, and 5. Older women, likewise, are to be reverent in their behavior. This doesn't mean senior citizens. It means women who are mature over younger women just coming out of adolescence, etc. Not slanderers, nor enslaved to much wine. Not alcoholics. Teaching what is good. Obviously, their place of teaching, whether it might be in the prep school or with the children at home, things of this nature, and others that they have chance to exhort in their periphery, that they may advise young women to be devoted to their husbands rather than trying to stir up trouble and fan the flame in regards to things of that nature, to bring the doctrine about, hey, your husband is the authority, you know, if there's disagreements and things of that nature. To be devoted to their husbands, devoted to their children. That's where their primary responsibility is designed to be. And to be sensible, pure workers at home, if at all possible. Kind, divine good is actually in view. Being subject to their own husbands, I guess that's being said enough, isn't it? That the word of God may not be blasphemed. Well, your church teaches this, and look at the way they act. See. Four. So, obviously, we recognize that the male should have gainful employment, maintain it, and do it while he can to bring home the bacon, so to speak. So four, he should be willing to make self-sacrifice, emulating Christ and the church. Again, that was Ephesians 5:25. Maybe you have to take on a little extra work, so that your wife doesn't have to work so many hours that she's got to miss Bible class all the time. You know, obviously, you don't want to put anybody's NPR in jeopardy in either direction. Five, he should put her needs at least equal to his own. To not be selfish. Ephesians 5:33. Nevertheless, let each individual among you also love his own wife, even as himself. Let the wife see to it that she respect her husband. So not be selfish in the relationship, recognizing her desires, her physical capabilities, her lack of, and deprivation of sleep, or whatever. Yeah. Six, he is not to deprive her sexually and ensure her sexual fulfillment. 1 Corinthians 7, verses 3 and 5. Let the husband fulfill his duty to his wife, as sexual duty, and vice versa, let likewise also the wife to her husband. Verse 5, to stop depriving one another. Again, the sexual connotation is in view. Except by agreement for a time that you may devote yourselves to prayer. Time out, got to pray. While alive. And come together again. That prayer's done, okay. Unless Satan tempt you because of your lack of self-control. Libido is a real thing. It's live and active, especially in the younger, if not older. And your right opposite number there is there to satisfy you. A lot of times satisfaction doesn't come in the bedroom because people can be legalistic in regards to even marital sex. This is really just for procreation. See, that attitude exists. Sex is only for procreation. No, it's for recreation. To have fun. So, anyway. Not that I need to exhort anybody around here from what I've heard, but anyway. Seven, authority roles in the bedroom are equal. This is where the authority status changes, and that is when it comes to the sexual fulfillment of one another. 1 Corinthians 7:4, the wife does not have authority over her own body, but the husband does. And likewise, also the husband does not have authority over his own body, but the wife does. To be sensitive, on both ends of the coin. Eight, he is not to exclude the wife in the matters of marriage. and the household at the risk of defying divine design of the woman as man's helper. Genesis 2:18 speaks clearly of why God designed the woman, that is to be the husband's helper, the man's helper. That's natural to her. That's how God designed her to be. And in that respect, obviously, we are not to exclude the wife in matters of marriage, to stiff arm her, to get her out of the picture, keep her out of the picture, and things of this nature. She should be completely and totally involved in the marriage, obviously, appropriately. Otherwise, you defy why God gave her to you to begin with. To exclude her, eliminate her in regards to household affairs, it's just wrong. It's not the proper approach in regards to your relationship. She should be involved in all things. You are one, are you not? Or did you not ever consummate that marriage? So 9, the husband should not place undue burden upon a wife regarding outside employment, plus wifely duties at home that negatively affects her NPR and GAP. And I include this point not to pick on anybody, but because I've seen it over the years that this occurs quite often. Whether people just get out of touch or whatever. People getting wrapped up in regards to the cause, boss, their jobs, better themselves, bigger houses, better cars, and all these other things. And this burden comes upon a wife, and it starts having a negative effect in regards to her NPR, spiritual advance, functioning under spiritual gifts, and all these other things. Because she's just too damn tired sometimes. Doesn't have the energy. B, on the other end of the coin, we have the responsibilities of the wife. 1, she should strive to excel in a homemaker, mother niche, leaving any decisions for outside employment otherwise to her husband. Now, she may have even an education, a professional education, but still the final say in regards to whether a woman works outside the home still is to be left to the husband. Hey, he is the authority. See? And the woman should be sensitive to that, acclimate to that. Sometimes you have husbands that are sensitive to that and want to try to help the wives, but the wives are so wrapped up in their own damn little world, they just disregard the husband's offer of assistance. And you got both sides of the coin. But the focus, priority and focus should be in the house, in the household, in regards to the wife. Obviously, kids leave the house, etc. That frees up people's niches and things of that nature, and we know that. Or they haven't had kids yet or whatever. 2, she is to avoid being a, quote, clothes horse, end quote, or pursue other extravagant lifestyles, compromising application of Bible doctrine. First Timothy 2:9, along the same line as earlier what we read, I want women to adorn themselves with proper clothing, etc., modestly, with good taste. Not with elaborate hairstyles, that's what's intended in braided hair. And gold or pearls or costly garments, it doesn't mean that you can't wear jewelry, but to just stack yourself with them, as people like to do. Males are just as guilty of this often as females. But rather by means of good works, divine good production, as befits women making a claim to godliness. A woman quietly receives instruction with entire submissiveness. See, that's what you're looking for in a right woman if you're waiting. That's what you want. I'm here to tell you. Not that anyone I knew previously wasn't. Three, she is to avoid the Eve syndrome and remain submitted to her own husband for advice and direction. Verses 11 through 14, again, the woman quietly receiving instruction from entire submissiveness. And that's why Paul says, "And I do not permit a woman to teach or exercise authority over a man, but to remain quiet." And this, as it would be applied to the local church, because of the whole authority structure and the proper positions and places of the male and female in God's plan. For it is Adam that is first formed, and then Eve. It is not Adam who is deceived, but the woman, being thoroughly deceived, fell into the transgression. The woman shall be delivered through the bearing of children if they continue in Bible doctrine and filling of the Holy Spirit, faith and love, and sanctify with self-restraint, moderation. For she is not to deprive her husband sexually and also obviously ensure his fulfillment. Too often people use sex as a weapon, females mostly, in that regard. In my age, it may be the other way around, but usually it's the female. 1 Corinthians 7, 3 and 5. Cut you off. Because they don't get their way. Things of that nature. That's just childish. 5. She is not to utilize her home time for idle gossip and worthless pursuits. Again, the exhortations in Timothy 5, verses 10 through 15 in regards to women having a reputation for good works. And she has brought up children. She has shown hospitality to strangers. She has washed the saints' feet. She has assisted those in distress. She has devoted herself to every good work. One who is noted for her application of doctrine and devotion to Bible doctrine. But refused to put younger widows on the list when they feel sensual desires. In disregard of Christ, they want to get married. Thus incurring divine discipline because they have rejected their first faith, set aside their previous pledge. And at the same time, they also learn to be idle as they go around from house to house. These are the potential stumbling blocks in regards to the females. And not merely idle, but also gossips and busybodies talking about things not proper to mention. None of their business. Therefore, I want younger widows to get married, bear children, keep house, and give the enemy no occasion for reproach. For some have already turned aside to follow Satan, falling for the whole cosmic temptation and invitation to get in their circles, see, a human viewpoint approach. Six, she is responsible to learn Bible doctrine quietly with all submission and ask her husband any questions she may have. Again, doesn't mean that they can't talk to others, ask questions of others, the pastor and things of this nature, but she should have priority in regards to doctrinal situations, etc. First, her husband. 1 Corinthians 14, 34 and 35. Well, let's see, 1 Timothy 2:22, since we're there, and that is not right, but we read it, 22:11 will work, that a woman quietly receive instruction with entire submissiveness. 1 Corinthians, our primary passage here, 14, we'll wrap it up here. For the evening. 34 and 35. That the woman keeps silent in the churches, for they are not permitted to speak, but let them subject themselves, just as the law also says. And if they desire to learn anything, let them ask their own husbands at home, for it is improper for a woman to speak in church. Father, again, we thank you for the truth of your word. We ask God the Holy Spirit continue to light these things in Jesus' name. Amen.